community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. Rich and Poor provides universal inclusive beauty products that solve your skin problems with just one use, and proudly sponsors the new Owl Hour business show, hosted by Sophie Newbold on Phoenix FM.
Hello and welcome to the third edition of the Owl Hour. I'm your host, Sophie Newbold, and in today's show, we'll be continuing our conversations with Simon Hawkins of Size Tech Photo Studios and Teresa Kennedy from Rich and Poor, as well as our regular top tips from freelance growth strategist Ollie Bramford. But first, we will be talking to Charlie Biss, a founding director of the Islington-based architecture practice BB Partnership Limited.
So Charlie, it sounds as if you're handling retirement particularly well, having watched my father sort of dramatically go from sort of full-time with a profession that he loves, which is medicine, into kind of car crash, you know, no wind down. It sounds as if you're handling retirement in a way with, which basically is kind of a gradual, you know, you're taking on a workload as you leave your company, but you're maintaining some paid work and then it's in your control how you manage that. Is that right? And that's something you feel comfortable with?
Yeah, that's exactly where it's coming from. I mean, there is transitional work from BB Partnership. There's new work, which is happening locally. I don't really want to travel miles anymore. And there's sort of advice work, executive work for small companies who need a little bit of maybe a day a month or something. And I've got three or four of those working as well at the moment. So very happily enjoying all of those without really having to manage the business side of it. Also other things like I'm learning the piano and I'm painting and I'm enjoying all sorts of other things that I've always wanted to do, reading and sleeping, actually. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah. Okay, that's excellent. And
all of those things that are the stress creators have gone, and all of the things that are the pleasurable things have remained.
That's excellent. So, you know, at work now, well-being and things are becoming, you know, more and more sort of a focus to make sure people have looked after their mental health and get the right support in terms of careers and making the right decisions. Have you found that there's been enough support for sort of that transition from, you know, working and business owner and or even just practicing professional into retirement? And, you know, because it's such a big change to one's life, I just wonder how much support there is out there.
We've always tried to be as sympathetic and listening as possible to staff and to employees, to the extent that we've basically given them the company at the end of our tenure, if you like. And it was a train that's fast moving. So, you know, that's quite an important thing that they've got. They hopefully will embrace that and enjoy that process, because I believe that you need to be, if you like, not in control, but you need to be very much a decision maker. And that is a very mentally stimulating process, especially in a profession as well, where you're making architectural decisions as well as business decisions. And I think it is important to remember that we are all qualified, trained architects. So we've all been through that long training process. So we all, to greater or lesser extent, have that passion of the subject we study. We're not, we don't have too many dissenters in our ranks, because, you know, they would have not been architects had they got to that point. So that's very much part of our thing. Architects have to work hard, you know, they have to struggle with their own artistic demons and creations, and they have to then not only be artistic, but they have to make that work, you know, from a planning, a financial, an engineering, a site, a tree, you know, all the constraints that flow into it. So we have to be very aware of everything. There's not much time for you know, you've got to do everything, really. It's quite all embracing. And I think the people that do get through at the end of it tend to be very masters of all trades and or jacks of all trades and masters of none. Mm. And that's quite an important thing, because you're not ending up being depressed. You know, you can always turn around and look at something else. It keeps you active. Does that make sense?
Yes, sure it does. No, that's a really good point, because I think
not going down a no exit tunnel. You know, you really do have the vision that you have is always broadening.
So that's really good, and I think you touched on the last show about your you felt a sense of duty maybe to pass on your knowledge to the. Generation. And do you want to just talk to us a bit about that, please?
Well, absolutely. We've had, all of us have had a good life. You know, my dad fought in the war, and we haven't had wars in our lives. You know, we've been very well educated, and we've had our health is good. And, you know, we can't promise that to the next generation, you know, with the ecological situation, with the global warming and everything. And it's very important to me that education is where it all starts. And, you know, if we have that in us, we don't want to just close our shop and walk away. We want to pass that on and share it and try and invigorate people to think this is still a great subject, still a great world we live in, and still a great hopeful future.
So how are you doing that then, Charlie? How are you passing on that legacy message?
Well,
I
go back to my
young
school and mentor some of the kids for A-levels and university. Strangely, architecture isn't taught in the schools, which is an oddity, like the law or medicine. You have to pick it up after you leave. And it's a lot of school kids are like the idea of it. And of all the professions, it's a very hopeful profession, because it's not dealing with illness, it's not dealing with in trouble with the law, it's not dealing with debt, it's dealing with, blimey, I'm going to create something. So that's very much a hopeful subject. So a lot of people are interested in it, and it's important that they get that it's, you know, we touched on it earlier, it's 95% perspiration and 5% inspiration, and the inspiration can't come unless you do the perspiration. Mm-hmm. You have to work hard at it. It's a very complex and all-embracing subject, but what a beautiful subject when you actually get it.
Yeah.
And it's important to share that love with the kids who come through, because, you know, I wouldn't have had it any other way.
And also,
you know, a great life out of it. I've so enjoyed it, and tomorrow I will go again.
And that shines through, Charlie, in how you describe, you know, your career and business and loyalty to the next generation. Do you want to just tell us a bit about the house that you have built for yourself? Because just to give us some tips of knowledge on architecture, you know, for those of us who don't really, you know, we don't really know it.
I suppose it was Colston Newcastle, but my university, the thing I kind of got into at the end of my time there was a thesis on passive solar design, and it's all a bit experimental, and actually the only person I could possibly test it on was myself. But Dan thrust it on a client, they might sue me for it, so especially if it went wrong. So I did it myself. It's something I wanted to do all my life. It took about 3 years to pluck up the courage to do it, and we eventually did it, and we got some good builders in, and I spent every penny I had on it, and 7 years later I'm still happy as Larry here, really. I love it, you know, and it was an interesting exercise, an interesting catharsis for us, because it was all about not what we've done up to that point, but what are we going to do for the next 30, 40 years, and, you know, anticipating waking up one day and not being able to walk, or, you know, level thresholds for wheelchairs. And it was quite an interesting awakening, really. But, and you know, passive solar house, no bills. We don't have any energy bills or anything like that. So it's very, very interesting experimental stuff.
Wow.
And we had a lot of fun building it. But you know, the most important part of it wasn't to turn it into a machine. It still is our home. And coming home is what it's all about, really.
Absolutely. And Charlie, it's been lovely to have you back. And just one last question for you.
So that was Charlie Biss from BB Partnership. And we'll be continuing the interview in the next edition of the Owl Hour. But now it's time for freelance growth strategist Ollie Bramford with his regular business tips.
Excellent. So now we're at the digital growth, business growth strategies with our resident tipster, Ollie. How are you doing, Ollie?
Yeah, really good, Sophie. Thank you.
Excellent. How are the summer holidays for you?
I've been having a great time. I've got quite the tan going on by now.
Have you? Yeah, I hope you're putting your sun cream on, Ollie.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. That's not what we're recommending on this show. Right, so you've got a brilliant tip to make all our business listeners accelerate growth for today's show, Ollie?
Yeah, absolutely. So today, guys, my tip for you is really simple, and that is to test hypotheses. So with all your marketing activities, it's not just about getting more customers or getting more leads. It's also about learning. So every time you run a marketing campaign or a marketing activity, write down what hypotheses you are testing with that marketing experiment, and then write down your results. And the reason you do this is because you can then apply that learning not just to the rest of your marketing activity, but also across the rest of your business. Maybe you learn important things about your customers or what they want or what they need, and could even like drive your product development and all inform your other content. Really integrate the power and the learning from marketing by testing hypotheses as part of your marketing process.
Excellent, Ollie. Thank you so much. And yeah, I've run a few hypotheses in my time, and you fail sometimes, but that's okay, isn't it? You know, you can just pick yourself back up, hopefully, somehow. And the challenge is just perseverance, isn't it? Keep going until you find what works. Would you agree with that, Ollie?
Absolutely. If you're learning and you're learning fast, then even if tests don't work, if it don't cost you too much and you do them quickly, then that's progress.
Excellent. And we'll see you on the next show, Ollie, hopefully, everything being well, not too burnt.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Cheers. Take care. Bye.
Rich and Poor provides universal inclusive beauty products that solve your skin problems with just one use, and proudly sponsors the new Owl Hour business show, hosted by Sophie Newbold on Phoenix FM.
And there'll be more from Ollie in the next show. And now we continue our conversation with Simon from Size Tech Photo Studios.
So that's really interesting. And, you know, diversity and inclusion in the workplace is so important. And I get the feeling that people do tend to think of it as a race or a sex or an age thing. But in terms of people's sort of background, where you've got kind of like a history or maybe spent conviction or, you know, just something that is not right. Because when I was growing up, there was a lot of criminalization of the youth. It was really quite outrageous at the time. That was around 98, 99. Yeah, it was just getting worse and worse. The whole of the millennium years was dreadful, you know, watching lads and accusations of, accusations by a girl's dad, or you know, just craziness of what was going on. And I know all that effect on those people. You know, it sounds like you've got some really good insight into that. What do you is that the sort of thing you're talking about in terms of educating employers about it? Because it can be devastating.
The vision will be to do, I like to call them seminars, but you know, it's basically a conference where you got like directors and CEOs of different people. And I just feel that, you know, with a big brand, i.e. Apple, who has about 125,000 applicants per week across the UK, it's the survival of the fittest and the survival of the people that don't have anything against their name, i.e., you know, criminal convictions, spent convictions, you know. And I feel that when we all need a job, we all need to survive. We've all got, if we've not got kids, we've still got to feed ourselves, and we may be looking after elderly parents or grandparents or whatever. And I just feel, you know, that everybody deserves a hit at some sort of success, whether that's going to be opening their own business, working for Tesco's as a shelf stacker, or, you know, fixing a self-scanning machine. It's all relevant, I believe. So it's a job at the end of the day. It pays the bills.
Absolutely. Simon, it's been fantastic talking with you today. You know, I can see you going places, quite frankly. And, you know, you're focusing on getting support. You're going for growth. You're using online to do that. You know, and you've said things that are, you know, wisdom that people can listen to. And that new dimension of diversity and inclusion in relation to, you know, those kind of past mistakes that people make is just, you know, that's real insight. And I just hope that you can carry your message.
Yeah, just don't, you know, the message to everyone is just don't give up, I believe. You know, life is a hurdle. And one of the most famous in my eyes, person that gave me some advice recently was, he has had 25 years of this kind of thing, you know, mental health and rejuvenation work and, you know, things like reviews of people that have been sectioned and things like that because of that reason. And the fact of that he finds that from day one to now, he just fights red tape. You know, where you find you want to help somebody and you want to take them under your wing or whatever you may call that, there is always red tape. You know, you could be a director, you could even own the company, but you still have laws you have to abide by. And I think, you know, there has to be some sort of relaxation via the government on laws about people on social services and the red tape that people find, especially not so much in adult services, because people like that normally have their own voice and their own mind, but more in children's services. A lot more in children's services, you know, where you've got your parents who throw your three-year-old up the wall or whatever. There was a case recently, actually round the corner from my mum, and the baby was 2.5 years old, and he had, when he was taken to hospital, he had several broken bones. He'd been tried to be suffocated, and he had been found that he had some sort of, on the back, some sort of impact from someone throwing him or someone punching him or some sort of hitting of some form. I think he's wrong. They're the people that should be shot, as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks for that, Simon. right.
Sorry, that just came out. Sorry.
Simon, you know, you've been an inspiration today, and, you know, we all wish you here at Phoenix FM the best of luck in terms of, you know, what you're going to do and where you're going to go with your, you know, with your business, Size Tech Photo Studios, and we hope that you'll come back, yeah, in a few months' time. Yeah. Let us know how you're getting on, and how the challenges, you've tackled them and you've got through, and, yeah, you know, that'll be...
Looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Nice one. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Nathan.
Thank you, Simon. And don't forget, you can hear all the previous parts of our interview from Simon and our other guests at phoenixfm.com. And now we come to more reflections from our show's sponsor, Teresa Kennedy, founder of new startup beauty company, Rich and Poor.
Deep breath now. So all that kind of success and failure and decision-making pressure, responsibility. Now it's time to turn our heads to our show sponsor, Teresa Kennedy, founder of Rich and Poor, startup mode. Hi, Teresa, how are you?
Morning, Sophie. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, loving it, Teresa. Really loving it. Loving meeting people at all different points of their business journey. You being at the beginning of your business journey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you. And I'm just waiting for the next phase in the in the process. Exciting.
Well, you know, we're right behind you, Teresa. We want to see Rich and Poor in lights, yeah? Okay, so we're going to look at the reading today, the thought, the promise of, you know, reflecting on ourselves for a bit and the people we're around, the human side of business and our wider lives. So the quote I'm reading now is by Emma Goldman. Don't ask me who Emma is, but this is what Emma said. If love does not know how to give and take without restrictions, it is not love, but a transaction. If love does not know how to give and take without restrictions, it is not love, but a transaction. Teresa, do you want to go into the detail, the context behind that thought?
Absolutely. Many people form primary relationships before they've had a chance to live alone, to be on their own, to test themselves out in the world. Sometimes, in fact, it's fear of testing themselves that drives them prematurely into a relationship. So a lot of early relationships dissolve. And if the people involved in them are motivated by fear, they're likely to form new relationships before they've given themselves a chance to heal or grow from the old ones. In a healthy relationship, both partners give and take without restrictions. Love is a process, an unfolding intimacy between adults. It's no substitute for a mortgage or a band-aid. It's difficult to conduct this kind of relationship when we're young and unsure. We need an enormous amount of trust to be nurturing and vulnerable. After we've knocked around in the world a bit, we're more likely to have the strength to form a real love bond. Today, I'll remember to promise only what I can give freely.
Wow, that was lovely. And, you know, I think healthy relationships, yeah, obviously in the private life, but in business is so important. And, you know, in business, you know, to give and take, yes, they are transactions, but I think to reach that pinnacle, there's another level of trust and proximity, closeness that we need. And, you know, this is the journey I feel I'm on, Teresa. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's quite apt in, I think, a lot of relationships, whether in business or private personal, are motivated by fear. And I think if you can overcome that fear and just look beyond that, then you do evolve and grow. And you can have a really healthy relationship, not with just yourself, but with those around you in either personal, private or business relationships. And that can be fantastic.
Absolutely. And that's why I love this part of the show, Teresa. I love you coming in and doing this reading for us, because it kind of just brings in a perspective that might not have been part of your thinking all day. And, you know, just to really nurture and treasure and respect people is just so important in the business world. And you do that via experience.
Absolutely, and I think that's a fantastic foundation and basis for growth.
Exactly. Right, well, thank you very much, and as a pleasure as always, and we'll see you next time.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much, Sophie.
Thank you, Teresa. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
And you can hear more from Teresa in the next show. And that's it now for this week's edition. But keep an ear out on Phoenix FM and phoenixfm.com for the next edition of the Owl Hour very soon.
Rich and Poor provides universal inclusive beauty products that solve your skin problems with just one use, and proudly sponsors the new Owl Hour business show, hosted by Sophie Newbold on Phoenix FM.